life, sex, goals, and oh, hell knows, this is Midlife Craving. Move over, Jasmine. There's a new princess in town singing your song, because it's a whole new world I'm living in on this episode featuring Kat and Ams from Two Hot Wives podcast. I am so fucking excited to get into this because it's something I've always wanted to learn more about, you know, the lifestyle and the culture, non-monogamy, open relationships, and Kat and Ams, they do not disappoint. But first, it's time for my 5-minute orgasm. My 5-minute orgasm is where I unload all the recent shit going on in my life. And as usual, it's wild and crazy. So I went to Virginia Beach last week and it was a really great time. But traveling and me are just not fucking mixing right now. So I get to my Airbnb, right? And I'm all excited. It's Friday night. And I go up. It's like this cute little beach bungalow. I swear it's like one block from the beach. And I go up there and I'm like putting the code in my door. And for some reason, like it won't open up. And then all of a sudden, this like guy opens the door in my unit. And I'm like, hi, I was like, I know this is the right place. Like, I'm here to rent this. This is my unit for the week. And he was like, no, this is my place for the weekend. And I'm like, oh my fucking God, like there's some big mix up. So we were double booked. And I was like, oh my God, like I just got stuck in the Bahamas, dealt with all this. And I'm like, I just wanted to come down here. You know, I had to reschedule this trip. And I'm just like, I just want to relax. And I mean, what are the fucking odds, you know? I mean, God. Luckily, he was only staying for 2 nights and he was like so kind and he graciously took the smaller apartment below us so we could enjoy the nicer one for the week. But I swear to God, though, like if it can go wrong for me, it will. I like unpacked my stuff. I thanked him profusely, offered to buy him a bottle of wine. I grabbed my cooler, loaded it with beers and just headed straight to the beach and was just like, fuck it all. Let me just say too, there are two different types of girls at the beach. There's the ones who do their hair, wear their makeup and take like perfectly positioned selfies for the gram. You know, they have their boyfriends out there like, get the right pose. It's the golden hour, whatever. And then there's me like leaning back in a beach chair, sandy, sweaty and cracking a beer. But rough start aside, my daughter and I had a great time and I am so thrilled to share that my first Tinder experience was a huge success. I met an awesome hot guy named Chris, and it was honestly one of the most fun dates I've ever had. We absolutely let it rip, and I needed a day like that. All right, so here's how this went down. So we started the day, I think we met at like 1 o'clock at this little joint on the beach. It was a beautiful day. The weather, I will say, was really nice. And I had told him before, I was like, hey, listen, you know, I have to work. I was like, at 3 o'clock, I have to take this call. And he was totally cool about it. And I kind of sweetened the deal because I packed a cooler in my car. And I was like, listen, like, you can sit here, drink a few beers. I just have to do this call. And he was so nice about it. And he was like, Adrian, no big deal. So what's funny is we go back to my car. I log into my call and we crack a beer. It's, you know, it's great. And all of a sudden, this like car pulls into the street and they like parked in front of me. And I swear to God, it took him like 1500 times to fucking parallel park. And Chris and I were like, what the fuck is going on? And they were just sitting there. So I started getting like busy on my call and they're asking me all kinds of questions. And all of a sudden we see this like random car pull up. The guy gets out and they're fucking, he's dealing drugs right in front of us, like dropping cocaine. The guy hands him money. And by the way, we were both shocked because we were like, oh my God, they don't do like the old school like pass and grab handshake thing. They were just like literally out in the open, dropping dime bags, switching $20 bills. I'm like, what the fuck ever? So it was like dinner and a show. Okay. Like I'm on a call. We're drinking beers. There's like drug deals going down in front of us. It was fucking quite the experience. Chris was like, oh my God, this is fucking awesome. And it was. So we ended up going and getting oysters at this local bar down the street. I mean, I got to tell you, I really love Virginia Beach. And then we ended the night at this really great, it was called like Side Street Cantina. It was on 11th Street. Really cool dive. Loved it. Great food. And we just had a fucking blast. But we were letting it rip, and I mean hard. So I remember like getting back to the house, and I remember being on the patio with him. Like I have bits and pieces of it, right? And then I remember my ex-sister-in-law dropping off my daughter. My daughter spent a lot of time with her cousins and stuff. And I remember all of that, but like that was about it. So, oh So I wake up at like midnight and I'm like, oh my God, like what fucking happened? Like day drinking just got to me. I tuck myself back into bed and I was like, all right, whatever. See everybody the next day. So I was extremely hungover and I called my ex-sister-in-law. It's still weird to call her that. I should just fucking call her my sister-in-law. You know, I mean, it is what it is. My child's family. But I was like, hey, I'm going to come over and just like let the girls play and I'm just going to like lay on your couch and pass out. So she was like, that's fine. So I hung out there and she was like, so how was your day? And, you know, I was like, it was great. Like I had such a good time. I was like, he's super cute, nice. Like it was just fucking normal. It was exactly what I wanted. And I was like, and also, you know, we were just friends. Like we just got along really well. And she was like, Adrienne. And I was like, what? I was like, what? She was like, y'all are not just friends. She was like, when I pulled up, she's like, you guys were all over each other on the deck. And I was like, oh shit. Like, I seriously don't remember that at all. So I texted Chris and I was like, hey, so my ex-sister-in-law just told me that we were making out when she arrived. I was like, I hope it was good for you because I don't fucking remember that at all. And he was like, Adrienne, oh my God, I don't remember that either. He was like, that's fucking hysterical. I mean, it was just one of those nights where you just like let it rip, have fun. And I was with good people, so no fucking regrets. I want to take a quick moment to say too, thank you for the awesome feedback from my last episode on all about sex toys that dropped when I was at the beach. I am so happy that so many of you have been enjoying my tips and tricks. Rosie seems to be the most popular purchase. And don't forget, her magic six setting is where it's at, you know. And Goldie, lots of you wanting to achieve that back-to-back orgasm. I mean, who doesn't? Oh, great episode. And I love that you guys give me so much feedback about how much you're enjoying those toys. Remember, if you go to adamandeve.com to purchase toys, use the code CRAVERS, C-R-A-V-E-R-S, to get 50% off of one of most of their entire website, access to 6 movies, 3 free gifts, and free shipping. That code is CRAVERS, C-R-A-V-E-R-S, at adamandeve.com. All right, let's wrap up this 5-minute orgasm and get to it. Before I play this interview with my gals from Two Hot Wives podcast, I want to take a moment to truly thank Kat, Ams, Mr. Kat, and Mr. Ams for their incredible hospitality. They graciously welcomed me into their home, and from the moment I met them, I just felt home. Like, they are my fucking people. And it was so fun learning the lifestyle, hearing their incredible stories, and seeing all the things. Kat and Ams, you know I want to take a ride on that fucking swing that they had there. And most of all, they were so open, so honest, and truly wonderful to talk to and learn from. I am fucking grateful to now have them in my life, and I absolutely, positively cannot wait to party with them soon. Okay, Cravers, do you trust me? God, I can't stop quoting that fucking movie, Aladdin. Enjoy this magic carpet ride. I am here with Kat and Ams, hosts of Two Hot Wives podcast. They are two friends in open marriages. And on their show, you know, one of the things I really love about your outline of your show is you choose a sexy experience and then you live it, love it, fuck it, or not. And I love that you say that. And then you tell everyone how it goes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because sometimes we don't want to fuck it.
Sometimes
it just doesn't work out.
But before we get started, I must share, this is my first threesome.
Oh my God, girl.
I know, in the world of podcasting.
So privileged.
And, you know, I've never done this before, so thank you for being here with me.
Well, thank you
for
coming.
And I'm so excited to meet you guys.
Thanks, Adrienne.
It's been fun so far.
Awesome to meet you.
Yes, you too. And Kat, first things first, what are we drinking?
Well, tonight I made my go-to, which is Deep Eddie's Lemon Vodka. With some ginger beer.
It's delicious.
A little
by
lime.
The way.
It's like an easy version of the Moscow Mule, but it's got that kick of that lemon vodka, which makes it really good.
And how many shots did we do?
Okay, and first to get to know each other,
right.
We did some kamikazes. We did grapefruit kamikazes.
Those are delicious as well.
They
I think
really
I did three.
Good.
I don't know.
I only
but
did.
But we're here.
I only did one.
Yeah, you're the lush. Sorry, girl.
It's all good. I'm not driving. Wait. No. All right, so I want to jump right into things because I want to learn about this lifestyle because it absolutely intrigues me. And I'm someone who's very interested because I think it's a very realistic way to live. I do. I know many, you know, I know many conditions have to be met and it's not for everyone, but I feel like with the right partner, it could work for me as well. So I'm very interested. And when you reached out to me, I was like, I got to learn about this. And I can't help but think about, like, one of the things I think about when I think about open marriages and non-monogamous, hold on.
Non-monogamy.
Not gonna work here anymore. No.
Ethical non-monogamy.
Okay, ethical non-monogamy. But I can't help but think about, you know, girls have their bachelorette parties and they have like that banner and it says like same penis forever. And I'm like, holy fucking shit. Like, that sounds like a death sentence to me.
Doesn't have to be that way.
I know. So I think it's natural to be attracted to others. I think it's normal to like look at someone and think to yourself, I would climb him like a motherfucking tree. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, that guy over there, I want to sit on his face. I mean, that's normal, right?
Yes.
To be attracted to someone else. I feel like people shame you for thinking that way. And everyone thinks that way. I guess we're just saying it, you know? So I'm open to this and I'm really excited to learn. I mean, it's just allowing yourself to live out all the things that people think, you know? And it kind of removes the curtain because we all know the amount of cheating that goes on. Yeah. So it's kind of nice that you can just be like, okay, this is our agreement and this is what we're going to do. And we're both going to be satisfied at the end, you know?
Yeah, we're buddies. We're in this together. We're having fun together. So it takes all of the lying and the deceit out of it.
Yeah.
And it's just fun.
Yep.
I think it comes down to whether or not you accept the idea that love and lust, sex, are two different things. Mm-hmm. You can love someone deeply.
And lust them still.
Oh, sure. I mean, they go together. It's like cheese and wine, right? They go together, but they are not the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
You can lust after many, many people and still, you know, be monogamous and committed to one person if that is your truth, if that's being authentic to you. And if you and your partner can accept that you might feel lustful feelings toward more than one person and that it's okay to play and explore in that mm-hmm. space, it's mind-blowing.
Amazing.
Mind-blowing.
I'm open to it. I've always been open to it. I have not spoken about how open I am about it because, you know, you get shamed for it. And I spent a lot of my time being married or in, you know, serious relationships where they weren't open to that. But I'm definitely open to it for sure. So I'm excited to learn more. And, you know, the first thing I want to say is, you know, tell me all about swinging. But I feel like that word has such a stereotype associated with it. I feel like people think, oh, let's throw a bunch of keys in a fishbowl and then everyone's going to fuck each other.
Well, I think that is kind of the 70s idea, like from the 70s, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when I first heard the term, that's what I immediately thought of is like, is that still a thing? Swinging?
Right.
Yeah. I didn't even think it was still a thing.
Right. I feel like, you know, in reality, there's so many different situations, agreements, understandings, and I feel like open relationships or non-monogamy is a better way to describe it because it makes you think, you know, there's some rules to it. And well, there is. So your thoughts on that?
Yeah. There's way more rules to being in an ethically non-monogamous relationship than mm-hmm. there is being in a vanilla relationship.
Yeah.
Because you can't rely on cultural norms to determine like what are the rules of your relationship. You put all that shit aside and you say, what are the rules for us, the two of us? And you start from scratch. So there's a lot of talking. There's a lot of rules might not be the right words, but like
communication.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of communication. I mean, we've talked more about sex and lust and love and all of those things than ever before in our marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can't make assumptions. You have to ask your partner, you know, what is it you're okay with? What are you not okay with? You know, Mr. Ams and I have tenants, rules, and boundaries.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Cat and I have no tenants, no rules. No, I'm just kidding. We have boundaries. We have some rules, but we didn't start out that way. You know, we sort of had, I guess, conversations about what we were okay with and what we were ready to explore, but we didn't write it all down on an iPad.
Didn't have a charter.
I didn't have a charter. We didn't, you know, we didn't give it a whole like title and make it a big,
wow.
Choose a
that
font.
We didn't choose a font. You know, there was no paperwork. I mean, that's just like a paper trail.
Yeah. No.
That's evidence. I mean, we got sex toys under the bed and we've got like crazy costumes all over the house hidden in different places. We don't need like paperwork that actually spells it out for our children someday to find.
I have sex toys all over my house too. Funny story, my daughter actually brought in that bunny. She has this bunny that she took and put into her Barbie dollhouse. And then she like found my, I call it Moby. And it was like by my bed. I forgot it was still out. And she goes, Mom, I have one of these. And she turned it on and I was like, oh my God. Like, I'm really going to be better about putting away sex toys.
Someday she's going to know what that was. And she's going to be like, oh my God, I found this in my
mom's vibrator. I know. You know what? I'm not ashamed.
All the money you make in the podcast just goes straight into her therapy jar.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I just want to say that I kind of crave the thought of having a man that is so dedicated and loyal to me, but also is okay with like seeing me suck someone else's dick or seeing me get fucked by someone else. But at the end of the day, I know that he loves me, is dedicated to me. Like there's something almost like dominating about that where it's like, I'm his, he's mine, but we can play a little bit outside. So I really want to, like when we came into this room, which I have to share with my cravers what room we're in right now. This is like my dream. Okay. Like I want, and I told you, I was like, I have to meet my match. Like I want something like this. I want my milking table. I want my glory hole.
Wait. What's a milking table?
A milking table is basically just like a horizontal glory hole.
Wait, how is it that we don't know what a milking table is?
And
this
you
is
need to
your
get
thing.
One.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, go on.
I mean, for me, I just, I don't know. I love sucking dick and I'm very into giving. Like that's, and I love cum. I'm all about cum. So I just like.
Oh my gosh.
I just feel like.
Ams hates cum.
I'll take it.
You're like okay. My evil
wait,
twin,
wait,
Adrian.
Wait. Yes. I have to share for okay, just yeah. 1 second. Ams loves to have sex in the shower.
I do. I like it because everything just goes straight away. Down the
you
drain.
You can clean everything off afterwards.
I'm fucking disgusting.
That's hilarious.
I love all the fluids, the sweat, the cum. Like after a guy eats me out, I'm licking his lips for him. Like I'm disgusting. I know. That's my thing.
No, that's awesome.
No, yeah. You know, we never yuck someone else's yum.
Right. That's true.
That
that's
is super awesome. We all like what we like and it's all normal.
You're right. You know what? I'm very into breath play. That's a serious thing for me. And then fluids. I love it. Yeah. Like one of my favorite things about Baywatch is he is too. Mm-hmm. And so we have like disgusting sweaty sex. And I'm like, yes.
Sweaty sex is awesome.
Oh,
I
it's
like
the
that.
Best. Yes. Yeah. I just love
it's
all
like
of it.
It's like athletic sex. I like that. Like sporty.
Well, and
I mean, you're like born to fuck,
like
you know?
Cock dancing.
Some of it is context too. Like if I'm feeling super turned on, the music's playing, it's hot. Like I sweat, cum, saliva, all of that is great.
She just wants to really take a shower afterwards.
I totally okay.
immediately.
Oh no, I like to go. To, oh no, I'm now. See, I'm looking. We're gonna talk about this. I'm looking for. I'm like taking applications right now. I love morning sex. I'm one of the bit. I love like hot morning sex, and then I'll go to work and like smell like sex all day.
That's great.
Like that's I love
and
it.
And it's
it
like your little
me.
Secret.
Yeah.
Like oh, everybody's so like
nooners.
What is that?
I'm like, oh my God, I smell like badussy. I just. You ever heard that word?
No.
What the fuck?
No.
What is okay, that?
It's
say
called
it again.
Badussy.
Badussy?
Yes. Booty, dick, and pussy.
Did we just say that together?
Booty, dick, and pussy.
Yeah.
Is it on Urban Dictionary?
Yes, for
damn,
sure.
Damn. And I thought you wanted to learn from us. Yeah. We are learning from you.
I know.
Yeah. We're
like a guru.
We're like completing a puzzle here together.
I love it. I love it.
All right. So I really want to know, how did you guys get into this lifestyle? Wow. How you got started? Tell me your story. And I really want to know, and my cravers want to know about your first experience.
So Mr. Cat and I started with erotica. And there was this website called X Confessions with Erica Lust. She is a female porn director. Mm-hmm. But people write into her about their real life stories. And they're super sexy. And they're just a couple, like, they're easy to read. You know, just, you know, easy. 10 minute reads.
So you guys would share
but they're
stories
super
together.
Sexy. So mm-hmm. Mr. Cat would send me these stories. And I would be like, wow, that was really sexy. And mm-hmm. and I would send stories back and we'd go back and forth. And the stories just got more and more like lifestyle-ish. Mm-hmm. And there was just a point at which I was like, babe, are you into this? What are we talking about here? And so we just started talking and we talked forever about it. In fact, if there's anything I would change, I would have moved a little faster because we talked a lot about it. And then there was this book by Christopher Ryan, Sex at Dawn, and he did an interview on this podcast, Art of Charm. And the interview was so great that we ended up like getting the book and reading the book. And it was all about non-monogamy and how it's not normal to be monogamous, that we've chosen that as a society, but it's not really in
the Bible,
our,
right? No.
I don't know.
Actually came from agrarian society.
Okay.
Wow.
Ams knows all about this shit.
I blame it on the Bible all the time. I'm like,
yeah, for sure.
But it was really amazing. And we listened to it together and it just made a lot of sense. And so we just started the conversation there. We talked more and more about it. And here we are.
So how did you guys meet?
Oh. We met on a couples date.
Okay.
So Mr. Ams and I were about a year into the lifestyle. And, you know, for us, we've been together a long time. We met. I was a teenager when we met.
Wow.
And we got married really young. We had kids. Super happy, loving, normal relationship. And out of the blue, a friend of ours got a divorce. Like his wife walked in the door and said, we are just two people who chauffeur our kids around and I don't want to spend the last half of my life doing this. Mm-hmm. We need to get a divorce. And it was a huge wake-up call for us. So we went to like our favorite bar, got super drunk, and we're like, how do we not take our marriage for granted? Mm-hmm. So we started talking about sex and would you do this and are you interested in that? And we came at it from the kink perspective, the kink community. 50 Shades of Grey was kind
BDSM.
Of like, yeah, just new out. And we're like, it's like, I really like to be spanked. Like, how do we learn how to do that? And some of the kinky stuff requires some skills. Like, you actually need to know what you're doing so nobody gets hurt.
Right.
So we decided to go to a dungeon, like a big community dungeon where you can go and you can learn how to do all of these things. So that's where we started, was in the kink community. Mm-hmm. And it was while we were there, I was strapped down to the tickle bench at the time, that somebody mentioned lifestyle, like, oh gosh, you seem more like lifestyle people, which I don't know what that meant.
You didn't even know what the word meant?
Never heard the term before, but it gave us something to Google. And if you know nothing about ethical non-monogamy or swinger culture or lifestyle culture, if you Google swinging lifestyle, you will learn that it's a huge subculture. I mean, it exists in all major metropolitan areas and you know, throughout the United States, throughout the world.
And it's growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you guys were on an app and then you met? Like, is there...
So, yeah. So okay. Mr. Ams and I were kind of in the lifestyle for about a year, meeting other couples, learning what we liked and what we didn't like. And we were going on a trip to an all adults sort of, you know, all inclusive clothing optional resort that kind of has a reputation for where lifestyle people hang out.
Mm-hmm. Super fun.
Oh, it's a blast. It was around that time that we had connected with Kat and Mr. Kat on a lifestyle dating site. I don't remember which one it was.
I don't know. Because we don't do that.
No, now not so much anymore.
The guys really, you know, do all of the
vetting
and the whole like...
And you always do meet and greets first, right?
Well, we do like a first. Well, actually, I would say that rule is different for every couple.
Okay.
There are couples who like to get together on a first date and are ready to go if they have a good four-way connection and a match. Our rule, our one rule, was that we don't want to play on the first date. I don't like that pressure.
Yeah.
I think if you just take that off the table, it makes for a more fun sort of first meeting. So no, we didn't.
Everybody does it differently.
I kind of like that rule. Yeah. It's because it takes the pressure off.
Right.
Yeah.
And then next time you're like stepping in, you're like, let's fuck, bitch. Like, yeah, I'm into that. Yes.
Those were Am's exact words.
Listen, I'm just like so ready. I haven't had sex in like 3 weeks. So I'm running really hot right now. I've jerked off twice this morning, twice last night.
Is that what they call it?
I call it jerking off. It's terrible. I know. I'm like a dude.
Do we call it something?
No.
Masturbating. I just call it jerking off.
Masturbating. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rubbing one out.
I mean, I've just been wearing myself out. So what I was going to say is.
That's a guy term too.
I've got to say, I mean, since lifestyle, I will touch myself when I'm playing with a partner, right?
Oh, but for sure.
I don't masturbate that much because if I want to have sex, I just like. Call someone up or, you know, Mr.
roll
Ams
over.
Comes over.
He's right there. So our guys do like, I mean, that's probably.
But I'm a huge fan of masturbation. Yeah. Like it's a phenomenal way of figuring out what how you like to be touched. And, you know, it's awesome. I just
well, there's a
the
couple
time
of times when I played when Mr. Cat was sleeping. I've and done that tried not to move mm-hmm. too much so that he wouldn't know. Those are in the early episodes. I don't remember exactly which one.
I have done that before, but it was because like my needs weren't being met. And I was like, I have to, I know, isn't that sad? And so yeah. I would try to be quiet and I'm like, I'm sitting here, but I will tell you this. Those are some of the most earth shattering uh-huh. orgasms of my life. Cause trying to be quiet, you're like, oh my God, it's a very unique orgasm.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah.
Mine
yeah.
was more like a game. But anyway.
Well, I think it's a game. I think, Adrian, what you're saying is game yeah. too. Because mm-hmm. it's all about what's going on in your head. Mm-hmm. And if you can play that like mind fuck in your head, like, yeah. I can't come. I can't be loud. I yes. can't do this. Then it's like it's reverse super psychology.
Hot. It is. It's really, super really hot. Hot.
It is.
Yep.
My mind is racing now. But what I was going to say is I'm thinking about Baywatch tomorrow. And like when he walks in, I'm not talking to him. I'm going to be like, fucking get on your knees. Like, let's go. Like, we're not even going to have a conversation. Like, I need to get fucked. So when I said this, that nice. Would you guys say next to me? Because that's how I would be. Yep. It would be no talking. There would be no conversations to be had. I got to get this out of the way real quick.
Understood.
Well, our first meeting was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so let's, I want to hear about your first time, if you guys don't mind sharing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we met on a couples date. Mm-hmm. Mr. Ams and I were going to Desire in Mexico, and Kat and Mr. Kat had been a couple of times, and they're like, we need to tell you all the things to do.
Well, okay. When Mr. Kat told me that, you know, we weren't sure we could get together with them because they were going to Desire next week. And I was like, oh, no, we need to get together right now because I have a lot to tell them.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
and it made for a really fun date.
There's a lot of shit you need to bring with you to a clothing optional resort. You don't realize that mm-hmm. if you've never been before, but you actually need like 2-3 checked bags. Wow. To go to a
clothing optional. You've never brought so much shit wow. to a clothing optional vacation. Because
there are theme parties. Oh, the theme nights.
So okay. much fun.
You need yes. clothes. You need clothes to eat when you're going,
right?
You know, so you need a lot of clothes.
Well,
of
and your dinner changes. Outfit is different mm-hmm. than your theme night yes. costume, yeah, for sure. So that's two outfits every night.
But I'm dressing up tomorrow for Baywatch. I'm so into that.
Yeah,
I love that.
You know, I went out to my listeners. I was like, should I be hot teacher or wear like a see through dress? And everyone said see through dress. I want to be the hot teacher.
What? So what do you like? Do it? Do you do like role play or do you just like to dress up and it makes you feel sexy?
I'm very into role play. Nice. But tomorrow I'm just gonna just be a just be like a hot I'm just gonna be dressed up like a hot teacher. I don't have time to talk or have fun. I need to get laid. Like,
there you go.
It's been like 3 weeks, but no, I love role playing. That is definitely something I'm into. In fact, like I keep talking about, I need to meet my match. I want a man that wants a room like this. I want a man that wants to pick a theme every week and we'll act it out. Like, I want that in my life. I'm not gonna settle for less.
Our men have no choice.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're like, oh, Mr. Kat's like, what are we doing this week?
Yeah, I want that.
And in the role play episode, I didn't tell him. I surprised him. So
I love that.
That's in season one. You'll have to go back.
Yes.
And...
But I'm into all that. So tell about your first time. I want to hear details.
Yeah. Well, so our first date was a typical, you know, lifestyle date. We mm-hmm. met for tapas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And drinks. And Mr. Kat gave us all the details. Well, Kat, right?
Mostly
Mr.
Me.
Kat just yeah. sat there and looked gorgeous. but, you know, she was like, this is what you need to pack. This is what you need to do. You know, bring a day bag. And we felt that connection, that elusive four-way mm-hmm, connection, which mm-hmm. can be really, really tough if you're a lifestyle couple. You're meeting other couples. And unlike regular dating where two people need to feel that spark, that connection, if it's a couple dating another couple, everybody needs to feel that connection. And it's not a sexual thing necessarily. Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the girls feeling it for the other guy. It's the girls have to connect with each other.
Yes.
And the guys have to like each other too. Because mm-hmm. a guy's not going to want to hang out with another guy right. that he doesn't like.
That is a lot. Yeah, to find that. That's a lot. Yeah.
The hit rate is low, mm-hmm. I would say. Well, it depends. Every
better.
Couple is different. Mm-hmm. And some people, you know, they're just looking for a sexual experience.
Right.
They're not super picky about who their partners are. And that's cool. Whatever, mm-hmm. you know, floats your boat is mm-hmm. totally fine. But if you're looking for that sort of friends with benefits, people you want to have drinks with, people
right.
long-term conversation
right.
with mm-hmm. not even long-term, like just have an interesting conversation before you fuck.
Mm-hmm. See me, I'm like, I don't need to talk.
Well, and some people don't, which is awesome. Like that strikes me as way less complicated than mm-hmm. than having to to, you know, make that connection. But for the four of us, it was pretty immediate. We just knew we really liked each other. And it's, you know, the friendship that Kat and I have is really, really special. It's, you know, we've become best friends through all of this.
That is awesome.
And the guys too, like they're texting
all the time. I think they text more than we do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're
buddies.
There's
nothing sexual about it. They're both straight. But right. They're, you know, just to have a friend that you can connect with, that you can talk through some of this shit with is amazing. It's
all right. Amazing. So what about your first sexual experience? I want to hear about that.
I don't remember our first sexual experience.
I don't either. As she's asking the question, I'm like, well, the soft swap. Because in the beginning, we were soft swap. So we hung out with each other. I mean, the very next day after our first date, we went to an art show all day and just hung out together. And then I think when you guys got back from your vacation is when we set up our first sort of play date.
Gotcha.
And even with a play date, we go out, we have drinks, we have dinner, we're talking, we're laughing, we're having a good time. And then we're like, hey, let's get a hotel room.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how it works. And we just, I mean, we liked each other. So it was really easy. I remember at least it was very easy because we had already sort of set up that whole relationship, right?
I remember our first full swap experience.
I do too. It was my birthday.
It was your birthday.
It was my birthday.
Yeah, we. So,
and I don't think that they thought of it as my birthday present, but it
should have been.
It was fun. I mean, we had a good time that night, and
So Mr. Cat and Cat had full swapped before that. That was part of their and we had not,
because I didn't know when we started what all the things.
I know. I actually, we're gonna segue right into like what the lingo is, because even I didn't even know what soft swap and full swap was before this. So
So it was not something that Mr. Ams and I had done before, but we knew Mr. Cat for 6 months, 7 months
something
that we
like
had been
that.
Playing, and we're all on a big king bed together, and
music's going, and we're having fun.
The red light bulb is on. It's like a beautiful hotel room, and we're all playing together. Mr. Cat was actually eating my ass at the time.
Oh my!
But I was like.
She was like, I can't stand this anymore. I need more.
I was like, you know what? I knew I was the only person out of the four who really was still holding this line. Everybody
Being
else
cautious.
Wanted to fuck.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, a lot of it was I didn't want to deal with, like, STI testing and all of the stuff that you have to start thinking about if you're having sex with multiple partners. And I was like, you know what? It's not that big a deal to deal with those things. I'm a fucking grown up and I can deal with those things. So, I called a timeout in the middle of play.
Okay.
Because I'm all about consent and making sure everyone's on the same page. And so we stopped the play. I was like, I think we should full swap. What does everybody think? Show of hands.
Donors.
And you know, not surprisingly, everybody was on board and everybody had condoms. We're, you know, all into
always
safer sex.
I'm into safe sex too. Big safe sex.
Always.
Yes.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. So we took a little break, we had a drink, we made sure everyone was on the same page, and then we fucked, and it was
really
awesome.
Fun.
It was so good. And it made me wonder why did we wait that long? But you know, soft swapping, which is just basically doing everything but penetrative sex, is also really fun too. It's just like prolonged foreplay. So that can be awesome.
Yeah, and even now, like, we still hang out with couples who are just soft swap, and we have so much fun. I mean, an hour or two of full-on foreplay, and then I have sex with my husband. That's amazing.
Right.
It's really fun, and there's no pressure, and there's no, I mean, it's just really fun.
Yeah,
it sounds really fun. I wish you guys could see me, because I'm like, oh my god, like back and forth between you two. I'm like watching a tennis match. I'm like, tell me more, what else? I'm so intrigued by this lifestyle. I'm so glad you guys are here sharing all this with me, and I'm sure my listeners are too. So all right, let's get into like the lifestyle lingo, because we've already said a few things, and like one of the things is the difference between full swap and soft. Was it soft swap? Yes.
Soft swap.
So soft swap, like you said.
So there's also parallel prey.
Try that again.
I'm going to try that again, because we're not
praying. We're not praying on these dates.
I do hear, oh God.
Oh my God.
Couple
of
times.
My God. Oh my God.
Oh
okay.
God.
Oh yeah.
every once in a while, a Jesus comes out.
But oh my God.
Anyway. So there is parallel play.
Okay. Which this is not getting cut out.
Okay. Which is really fun because it's, you know, here's the thing. Like, if you want to dip your toes into the lifestyle, you can start anywhere you want. Mm-hmm. You don't have to play with the other partner at all with the other couple. You can both be playing with your own partner in the same room, mm-hmm. and just sort of observing and seeing what that's about. And that's really sexy.
Yeah. You know,
it's a good first step.
And I actually have some experience with this. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Well, you know, let's talk about it now. I have on here like parallel play. It's like a form of like voyeurism, right?
Yeah.
So my 23rd birthday, I don't want to spoil all of it because I need to have my best friend Jen come on and share it with me because it was the wildest night of my entire life. Nice. Oh my God. This is a true story. I don't want to share all of it because it's so good. But there was a bachelor of a bachelor party. He looked just like Tom Brady. And I was like, oh my God, I just want to fuck him. And they were like, he's the bachelor. He had a candy necklace on. And I was like, can I take a peach to your candy? And he was like, absolutely. This is back in the day.
He's the bachelor?
He was the bachelor. I know.
That was getting married?
Yeah. Don't judge me.
Oh. I'm not judging you. I just want to make sure I have it right.
Yeah.
Get the story right.
Okay. So, and
he was still a bachelor.
Exactly. He wasn't married yet. It's But remember the old, this is how long ago, they had like the old school like click Kodak camera. So his friends were like taking pictures like these cameras. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, you want to get out of here? Because like we were like making out and I was eating candy off his neck. And he was like, yes. So there's this place called Secrets in Ocean City, Maryland. You guys ever been there?
Ocean City? No.
No? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we go up to Secrets. There's like this upstairs area where there's like the restaurant. It's closed because it's like the nightclub time. It's a huge place. And we go upstairs and I just start sucking his dick. There's nobody up there. And then we start like fucking on the table. And not even 5 minutes into it, this other couple came up and they were like, do you guys mind if we share this room? And we were like, fuck no. So I kind of had this like parallel play experience already. And it was so fucking hot.
Step one.
I know. So I'm already, my toes are in the water. I'm crossing that line. But it was actually really hot. I'll never forget that. I was like, wow, that was hot. Because like we were like watching each other, you know? So
yes.
Parallel play. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Voyeurism, exhibitionism. Yeah. Super hot.
All right, so we talked about full swap, soft swap, parallel play, or prey. No. Okay, let's talk about unicorns. Because I've heard people say, like, Adrian, you're a unicorn, but is that only for bisexual women, or is it just any single unattached female? Like, what is a unicorn?
Well, you're not exactly a unicorn, I don't think, but you would make a great unicorn.
Yeah. I know, but the thing is, I'm not into women, though. Isn't that
no,
the problem?
You don't have to be at all.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so first off, let's level set about the labels and the terms. And that, like, there is no authority on lifestyle terms.
Okay.
We have our definitions.
I like that.
You know, so there may be people out there who say unicorns are bisexual. That has not been our experience. I think a unicorn is a single woman who goes and plays with another couple.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's a Wikipedia definition.
No.
Right, yeah.
No. Seriously, if the best authority for a term is Urban Fucking Dictionary, like, let's be flexible.
We can expand that a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah, a unicorn is a single woman who plays with usually a couple. The reason they're called unicorns is because
they're rare
and they're magical.
And they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then the other one, like, what's a bull? Have you guys heard?
Oh, yeah. So a bull is like a male unicorn, right?
Okay.
It's a single guy who either plays with a hot wife or plays with a couple. So he's the guest star of a play experience,
just like the unicorn would be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
exactly.
And then this, I don't even like to say this, troilism, what is that, like a threesome? Have you guys ever heard that word before?
I had not heard that term
either.
Yeah, so I mean the acronyms, right? MFM, yeah. FMF,
those the person are, in the middle
uh-huh
gets all the attention.
Well, I was going to ask you about
this. So MFM is really fun.
Yes.
That's our favorite thing.
Girl, it is on my motherfucking list. Oh, my God. We're going to talk.
It should be.
Mm, yes. I want to be airtight. I learned that term, too.
That requires three M's.
Oh, no. I don't do butt play. So for me, it would just be two. I know.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
It's not that I'm off. I'm not turned off by it. I just haven't experienced much. I will say that the local in Bahamas did eat my ass, and I was into it.
Yeah.
Well, you might have to listen to our episode all about anal
not
play.
Not to shamelessly plug our episode on anal, but for a lot of women, I think their only experience with anal is like quick and painful and awful. Like mm-hmm. somebody decided to shove a dick in their ass mm-hmm. at one point. They're like, I am never doing that shit again.
Yeah.
And we really try to break it down into some of the techniques that you should be thinking about so that you actually have a really pleasant experience. Cause it's just, it's one of those things you need to be a little bit prepared. You need yes. to know what you're doing.
Lube. Right.
Lube is absolutely yes. mandatory.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And we had different levels of experience with that. And we kind of explored that and talked all about like, if this is what you want to do, you can only, you don't have to go all the way down the street.
Right.
You know, yes. you can go halfway down the street yeah. and it's just fine.
Yes.
So it's about maybe experimenting a little bit and mm-hmm. deciding where your limits are.
So I've had anal sex. I had great anal sex in college. I was a pothead back then though. So I think I was so fucking relaxed and I loved it. Like, I mean, he would fuck me in the ass in front of a mirror. It was like the hottest thing ever. I was very into it. But then the second time I tried, but I wasn't prepared. It was like mm-hmm. that. Force, like, and I was like, oh my God, never again.
Yeah.
So that's what
yeah.
happened.
Your
to me.
Story is mm-hmm. is so common.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how many women we've talked to who are like, yeah, I will never do that because it felt like really assaultive.
Right.
Not that the guy was, you know, he's doing the best he can, yeah. but like it, you know, it feels like a violation. And, you know, the biggest, if I'm, you know, would give one sort of tip when it comes to anal play is like, back the garage up into the car. You yeah. have to be the one
not the other way around.
In control yeah. the first time you get penetrated. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, it can be a game changer because you decide how far you want to go, how slow it needs to be. And it can be really fucking slow. And if the guy doesn't like it, fuck him. It doesn't yeah. matter. Mm-hmm. You take your time.
So and I love lots of lube.
And yes. lots of lube.
Well, I love lube. I'm a big fan of lube. People shame lube. I hate that. I use lube all, even with like self-play, like I'm using lube. Mm-hmm. But I love what you said. So the middle initial gets all the attention mm-hmm. because I've heard, so I talked to one of my friends. So Baywatch has a good friend and he's hot as fuck. He has a big cock. Like he sent me a picture of like his dick next to a white claw can. And I was like, oh my God. Like,
they all do that.
I know.
What is that about? Wait, White Claw. Wait a second.
Well, he's 23 years old.
Wait a second. White Claw is skinny.
It's not that skinny.
Is he also secretly a sorority girl? Because why does he have a fucking White Claw?
I don't know. That's like a thing. They're young. But so he's 23 and uh-huh. like I am open to it. We haven't made any plans, but I'm like, but I love what you said because one of my friends was like, Adrian, you have to be sure about, you know, making sure that someone doesn't feel they're left out. Like,
well, what you really need to do is let them know exactly what you want the okay. evening to be, how you want it to go. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like this. I'd like that. I want you guys. I want to start with this guy. I want this
so
guy
run
to
the
do
show.
This. Yeah, run okay. the show. But tell them in advance what you'd like.
Okay.
And then say, what are your expectations?
I think that's what
figure
it is.
Figure it out a little ahead
of
time. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it'll be way more fun. Because
yeah.
if you're just going to like get drunk and let it happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to work out right.
That's what I've been told. They're like, make sure you prepare mm-hmm. and you like lay down the laws because I know what I want. So
Yeah.
And you don't have to think of it as laying down the laws, but just like, you know, letting them know like
right.
what you would like.
Right.
Because they want to please you.
Exactly. Yeah. But I love what you said because that is MFM or FMF. Like the person in the middle gets all the attention.
Because mm-hmm.
yeah. I want to do a double blowjob too. That is one place I'm open to like
that's a lot of fun.
Another play with a girl. Yes. Like I want to do that for sure. That's on my list too.
Wait, so when you say double blowjob, do you mean two dicks or do you mean two girls sucking the same dick?
I would be two girls sucking the same dick okay. or I would definitely do two dicks
both
anytime.
Both are fun.
Yeah?
Yes.
Ugh. Both are fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to get so much to do. So little time.
Sexual bucket list.
Yes, yes. All right, so let's talk about hall passes.
Yeah.
Is that something like in the lifestyle that people do, they give a hall pass so that their partner can go play with another couple? And is
yeah.
that something? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, solo play. You know, hall passes kind of became...
That was like that movie.
A term
yeah.
from the movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the idea that you can give your partner permission to go do whatever he or she wants for a night, for a trip, you know, it's, yeah, it's really
right.
common.
And sometimes, you know, you can figure out what the logistics of that are going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Ams and Mr. Ams and Mr. Cat and I have had solo play in the same house
mm-hmm.
where, you know, we might be in a different room. And it's still solo play, mm-hmm. but it's not quite a hall pass. We're not off doing our own thing without the other person also participating and having fun. And then we all come together in the end. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, but there are times when you can let your partner just go and have a good time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's like the same room. I wrote that down, like same room and separate play. So that's a simple way to do it. The separate rooms, yeah. Separate play, and then come back together. Yeah. Right.
I mean, we're all traveling a lot less than we used to with COVID. I think mm-hmm. the hall pass, I traditionally think of it as like, you know, your partner's going off for a convention or some business travel. And it's like, whatever happens, it's fine. You go, you have fun. That can be almost like a little role play fantasy in and of itself. Mm. But nobody's traveling for work anymore. Yeah. So it's just not happening as much.
Yeah. So we were talking about parallel play earlier, and I told you my experience with that. But I want to go to this place called the Baltimore Playhouse. Mm-hmm. And you guys were saying there's a difference between a playhouse and a dungeon. So what is the difference?
Well, so a playhouse or a sex club mm-hmm. tends to be a place where people are having sex in public. It's more, I don't know, vanilla sex.
Well, and usually there's dancing and there's a bar and it's fun. It's and you club. Have this whole, yeah, it's like a club, but mm-hmm. there are rooms in the back where you can sign up for different rooms, or there's some public areas that are mm-hmm. private. They're sort of in the back. Away from the dance floor or the bar area, but they're sort of public in that they're not a closed room. And so mm-hmm. you can play in those areas. There's all kinds of rules.
Yeah. It's most of the sex clubs that I've been to have a no play space, like the bar, the dance mm-hmm. floor. Men need to have their junk covered. Mm-hmm. Usually no play means men need to have their junk covered and women can do whatever the fuck they want because, you know, mm-hmm. the rules are not the same for women as they are for men. Mm-hmm. So yeah, your typical sex club, people might play with someone new. I would say there's a fair amount of, hey, what's your name? Nice shoes, wanna fuck, that happens at a sex club, which is cool if that's what people are into. But you have this sort of no play space, the bar, the dance floor, and then you will go to the play areas, which are usually monitored to make mm-hmm. sure that nobody's getting crazy. Single guys are usually excluded from sex clubs unless mm-hmm. it's a single guy night.
Gotcha.
But I would say kind of the point of going to a sex club for a lot of people is to meet a new partner or a new couple and to have sex with them that night.
Okay.
And really, I love to dance. So I really like to go to these clubs to dance and dance however the fuck I want mm-hmm. and not worry about, you know, anybody else watching me or thinking that I'm crazy or whatever. And I have yet, I mean, we've not met a couple that night and gone into one of the back rooms to fuck. Mm-hmm. We will go with another couple though, and maybe we'll go into a back room just because it's fun, mm-hmm. right? But I am not of the it's DTF. Not in my yeah, it's not in my repertoire to do that. But I love kind of the voyeurism kind of mm-hmm. thing about it, and a little bit of the sort
naughty,
of
mm-hmm.
yeah, the exhibitionism
yeah.
kind of it, like. We might go with another couple and be in the public private area where there's like a gauzy sort of curtain and you can kind of see, but you can't see completely. And it's sexy.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. One of the hottest things I remember from that night at Secrets, fucking on a dining room table, was like, it was so hot to watch them and to be like, they're watching yeah. us. Like, mm-hmm. there's definitely something about that. All right. So dungeons, like, what's the difference?
Yeah. So dungeons is more in the kink realm, kink community. And there's very little overlap between the lifestyle swinger community and the kink community. Mm-hmm. But a dungeon is a place that is designed for BDSM play. So, you know, bondage, sadomasochism. It's usually there's some kind of power play involved. It might be impact play. It might be, you know, ropes and restraints, medical play, wax play, electricity, like the really kinky, edgy stuff. Mm-hmm. A dungeon has the things that you need to explore that kind of play. So we went to dungeons recently, and that's like an upcoming episode. And there are demonstrations. There are people there who they love their kink. One mm-hmm. guy was there. It was just foot stuff. Mm-hmm. His thing was foot stuff.
And I dated a guy like that one time.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. but he wasn't like sucking on toes. He was literally just giving a foot massage. I'm like, oh damn, sign me up.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's fucking awesome. awesome. But, you know, there was a vacuum bed, so you, you know, could get between two pieces of latex.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
that. And they vacuum up all the air.
Remember that show Real Sex on HBO?
Yeah.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw an episode of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So dungeons tend to be kinkier, more into the sort of fetishy kink play, whereas sex clubs, it's, you know, just more vanilla play, but maybe with new partners.
Gotcha. That definitely clears things up for me. So now I know. I kind of want to go to a dungeon now.
Yeah.
Girl. I want to learn.
Yeah.
Because I don't kink shame. That's a big thing. Like, I'm open, and then I'll decide if I want to do it or not. Sure. But I never shame, you know? So, all right. Lastly, you guys said the word already, but what is a hot wife?
Oh, well, we get this a lot because we are the two hot wives.
Right.
And we consider ourselves to be hot wives, which is just a broader definition. Don't you? Do you agree?
Yeah. So hot wifing, the kink of hot wifing is when a married woman goes and has a separate play experience, but she's doing it on some level for the sexual gratification of her husband. So maybe he's picking out the partner. Maybe he's seeing pictures or videos. Mm-hmm. Maybe he, usually after the play, there's a big sort of, you know, she comes
reclaiming home.
She tells him all about it. They have phenomenal sex. So that's like the hot wife king.
That doesn't mean that the hot wife doesn't get off on the whole thing as well. Because kind of explored that in our hot wifing episodes. Mm-hmm. Which were our last episodes that we just did. And you know, it just depends on the dynamic between the couple. There's a lot of different sort of
ways labels that you can explore it.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, a woman in a very committed relationship. She's either married or she's in a long-term committed relationship. She's playing with someone else. And her husband is getting off on it in some way. Those are kind of the basic elements of it. But, you know, for us...
I love the term, by the way.
Hot wife. Yeah. But I think a hot wife is a woman in an open marriage. Someone who's allowed to play and explore. And that's us.
We're the hot wives.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. We have so much fun.
I love it, and I love learning about it and hearing about it, let me tell you. All right, so my cravers have some questions because I put a post out yesterday. Okay, so the first one is, how do you meet other couples to play with, and are you two accepting applications? I don't know why, because they haven't seen you. But
Yeah. So mostly we meet through lifestyle dating apps.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's some great ones out there. There's some shady ones out there.
Right. So what's the great ones?
You just put a profile up. And you describe what you're looking for, and then you try to find couples that are basically the same as you. It's looking for the same things.
So what's the app called?
What are the great ones?
Yeah.
Well, I love Double Date Nation. I think they're really, you know, they've created a really secure, like, high-quality app. The vibe is very friendly. It's, you know, two couples going out on a date. I almost feel like they're going to go to the soda shop. Like, it's very squeaky clean. Mm-hmm. So I like that personally.
I do, too.
Cassidy is big, especially big out on the West Coast. SDC is really big. Swing Lifestyle is pretty big. Field, if you're like young millennial, I think Field is a good app to meet people.
Mm. Alt Playground.
Alt Playground's good too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. There's like,
there's
my God.
Several.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So this is another big question. We've already kind of touched on this because it's very important to me as well, but do you guys use protection?
Always.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Always. And actually, I've never had anyone think that they didn't need to use protection. It is pretty much a universal thing. I suppose you probably should talk about it, you know, when you're getting together. We never do. Mm-hmm. And I've never once had anyone think that they didn't have to wear a condom.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was like kind of like when I remember like growing up and guys would be like, I don't want to wear a condom. Like, and I also feel like condoms have evolved so much. Cause remember, I was married for a long time and then I was in a serious relationship. So then I didn't start really using condoms again until recently. Cause I was always, you know, committed and, I haven't experienced this lifestyle. So, but I feel like condoms have really stepped up. Like I remember they used to smell weird and like very rubbery and like, the texture sucked. And I feel like it's a lot different now. So they're really easy to use, you know?
I mean, I think it's easier for us as women. It doesn't make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. I prefer the polyurethane condoms personally, but the latex condoms are fine.
I can't really feel the difference.
Yeah, I can't either.
I don't feel it. I think it is a little more challenging for guys. And you know, if this is new to you, my recommendation would be practice.
Yeah.
Practice having sex with a condom, because it can be hard to maintain an erection sometimes. Mm. But practice makes perfect.
Mm-hmm. I've never, in my lifestyle now as a single woman, like, I'm always like, this is not an option. Like,
yeah, right. Absolutely.
We're wrapping it up. But I will say, though, I do like, of course, I like someone to finish inside of me. Like I told you, fluids are my thing. So that's another, I have like a question here. So, because I guess then, because for, I don't know, I would have a hard time with this because I love cum. I want someone to fuck my throat and come down my throat. I want someone to come all over my face. Like, I guess that's unprotected safe sex. That's unprotected, not safe sex. So I would have some troubles there.
Yeah, I guess you would.
I know, I'm sitting here thinking like, well, shit, that's like one of my favorite things.
But you could still
things.
Do that with your primary partner.
Right. True.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Well, and look, it's not safe sex. It's safer sex.
Yeah.
These are things that you do that make you feel safer. And then they make the practice safer. It's not 100%
right.
safe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're STI testing on a regular basis.
Yeah, I was just going to say, people in the lifestyle, really, we all get regular tests to make sure that we're being as safe as possible.
Here's what's funny. The last time I go in there, and I was just like, because I mean, I love sex. And after I got off my no D diet, I mean, I was letting it rip, you know? Uh-huh. And I go, and she's like, do you want to get it fully tested? I was like, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, I need everything. But what something else that was funny to me is she said, I was like, I was having some issues. God, not to go into this, but like being, you know, I was close to 40 and I'm 40 now, but I was having like issues with like micro tears.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that was an estrogen problem. So I solved that. But I was like freaking out because I was like, oh, and she was like, it might be herpes. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And because you can actually get, it was like paper cuts. I can't believe I'm talking about this, but fuck it. I don't care. This happens to a lot of women though.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And it wasn't that I was dry. It was just like, there was just an issue with like the elasticity in my skin there. And she tested me and she was so nonchalant. She was like, Adrian, everyone has herpes. She was like, this is not a big thing. And I was just like, I don't want to have that. Like, I don't want to. Like, I'm not going to like freak out, I guess, if I do. Cause she was like, this is so normal. And I was just like very shocked
herpes
by that.
Herpes or HPV?
Herpes. I had HPV. I did get that from my ex-boyfriend. I talk about that on my show. That was the one STD I have had before, but it cleared within 2 years, luckily.
Sure.
But yeah, so I got tested and I was like, good. I'm like, yes, shoo. But yes, I do agree with getting tested regularly. But that was something that happened. And I fixed my estrogen levels and everything's been better. I mean, I thought my life was over. I was like, I can't not have sex.
Did you do a pill or a suppository? What did you do to fix the estrogen?
I do an external. I have a steroid cream that I do like once a month. It was like once a week at first. Then it was once every 2 weeks. And now it's like once a month. But yeah, it was an issue. So I know, weird. God, this is way too much. But you know what? This shit happens.
I'm so curious, though.
Yeah. You know, like there's probably a woman out there that's suffering. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on. And I was just having like these like literally like paper cuts. And I mean, I like to get nailed and I'm like, oh my God, this hurts. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, here's the next question. Moving on from my pussy. Oh God. All right. So how do you stop yourself from catching feels and what tips do you have to prevent that? I want to know because I want to have more casual sex and not catch them feelings because that's a fucking problem.
That's an interesting question. And I think it's valid. I mean, it's possible, especially when you hang out with another couple a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so one question you have to ask yourself is it a big deal if you feel, you know, a level of intimacy with someone you fuck?
Mm-hmm.
There are people who, so polyamory, right, is a whole nother branch of ethical non-monogamy, and their whole focus is on loving more than one person. And that is what feels good and right for them. And I think, you know, the stereotype of a swinger is that there's no feelings involved. It is just indiscriminate fucking with no feelings. I think most people are somewhere in the middle.
I was just going to say, I think we're somewhere in between. And you know, definitely with AMS and Mr. AMS, we've developed a relationship.
Right.
I mean, we have feels. Is it the same as I feel for Mr. Cat?
Right.
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
Of course not. But
it's almost like
it's
love
so
and lust. It's like you have that lust and like that fantasy.
Deep
with
friendship.
Them. Yeah. But then you have like your love and commitment with your husband.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Well, and people, so feels like people talk about new relationship energy and the idea that when you meet someone that you really click with, that
right, they can do no wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm. You kind of fantasize this whole mm-hmm. world with this other person. But at the end of the day, if you're in a committed relationship and it's solid, it has a strong foundation, I think you can ride those feelings and be okay. But if that is not something you want to experience, there's actually a website out there called the Slut Protocols, and it prescribes like steps that you can take to avoid that physiological feeling of attachment that can happen when you fuck the same person a lot of times. Wow. And so, you know, it's things like don't sleep with that person more than once a month, or don't do this or don't that. I'm not an expert on the Slut Protocols, because that's not how I do. Like, I like to have that connection mm-hmm. with a partner. I mm-hmm. like to be able to feel something for them. Otherwise, why am I
agree.
Fucking
I agree. Right. The sex is way better.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I feel like the feelings that I have for Mr. Ams, I have a lot of feelings for sure. Ams. Sure. Like, she is my best friend. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do anything that jeopardizes right. that. Right. I feel I have feels. Mm-hmm. For them as a couple. Mm-hmm. We love them as a couple. Like,
yeah.
We really just have so much fun. I don't know how I wouldn't be able to separate the two.
Yeah.
And Ams and I are not like intimate with each other, really. We're mostly with the guys. Mm-hmm. We're basically mm-hmm. both like a one or maybe a two minor on the Kinsey scale, you know, of
what's the Kinsey
of sexuality.
So the Kinsey Go scale Ams. Is a scale of sexuality. Zero being like completely straight, no, you know, homoerotic feelings whatsoever. Six being completely homosexual, no like heteroerotic feelings at all. And the idea is most people are somewhere on that scale. Very few people are zeros or sixes. Mm-hmm. So if you're a one or a two, then in certain situations, if the context is right, if the person is, you know, if you connect with that person, you might want to play with someone of the same sex, mm-hmm. But your preference is typically going to be heterosexual. So that's where we fall on the Kinsey scale.
Yeah. What was your two?
Oh, probably a one. Yeah. Sometimes teeters between mm-hmm. a one and a two. It's very situational. Mm-hmm. It depends on the lighting. I don't know. I mean, it depends on all kinds of things.
Is the red light on?
Yeah, and really, it's never like by myself. It's always with Mr. Cat, and you know, the female is there, and the other guy, and it's just sort of a fluid thing. And if it's right, it feels right. It's good.
Yeah,
but it's not something I seek out.
Right. I talk a lot on my show about how I'm just not into women at all. I think women are beautiful, but like I would suck a dick with another woman. Yeah. So if we kiss, so I guess I'm a one.
Yeah.
Okay. You're one.
Okay. Look, I'm not a zero.
Yay, maybe one. Maybe like a half. And that's cool. Wherever you're at is totally fine.
And it's all normal.
Yeah.
So someone else, I love being with you guys. You know, one of the things this podcast has done for me, it's brought me into a world where people think like me and they also talk like me. And it's really nice. Yeah. I feel home.
Yay.
You know what I mean?
Welcome home.
You guys
Welcome
know. Home. Yes.
Yep.
So someone else asked, you know, how do you deal with jealousy? And I think you don't even get to that stage because you guys communicate together. And
I mean, look, it can happen, mm-hmm. right? Like you can be riding on rails and all of a sudden somebody, your partner, gives someone else a look and you're like, what the fuck? That's mm-hmm. my look. Why mm-hmm. are you giving her that look? So it absolutely can happen.
And then there's a conversation.
Right. It's all about communication.
Oh, you know, mm-hmm. it really bothered me when you did that. And they're probably not even aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we got a question from a listener the other day where she was saying that, you know, her husband, they're just starting in the lifestyle, mm-hmm. and her husband will whisper in her ear, like, I'd really like to fuck that girl. And she's like, it bothers me so much, and I feel like I'm being overly sensitive. It's like, it doesn't matter. If it bothers you, you let him know. Yep. You have that conversation, and if he loves and respects you, as I'm sure he does, mm-hmm. he's not going to do it anymore.
Right.
So, you know, it is okay to feel a little bit uncomfortable. We live in a society that like does not tolerate discomfort at all.
With
and
anything.
That's not healthy
yep,
or good.
Right. I agree.
So it's okay to feel a certain level of discomfort. But mm-hmm. if you feel pain, if you feel really a high level of jealousy, you talk to your fucking partner. Mm-hmm. You use
you
your
get
mother
it out.
Fucking words.
Yeah.
And if they love and respect you, they're gonna
change their behavior.
Exactly.
I love that. And you're so right. Like it's in every aspect of life. You know, a lot of people say to me, you know, Adrian, and I feel like a fish out of water. I just, you know, broke up with Prince Charming and I was in a marriage. And then now all of a sudden I'm thrown back out into this world. And this whole podcast show is taking me to a whole new place. And I'm like, I do feel like a fish out of water, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Like this is where I feel like where the magic happens, you know, it's like not being.
It's honest.
Yes, yeah. It's true. Okay, so we've already talked a little bit about this, and I love, Ams, how you shared the story. You're like, I think that Mr. Cat was eating my ass when I realized.
Oh, my God. I want to fuck you right now.
I love that.
I totally get that.
But someone said.
I understand why she felt that way.
I fucking love that. But someone said, how do you define what is done during play? Like, do you have a checklist before? Like,
we don't have a checklist, I don't think.
So you should have a conversation if it's a new play partner. You should be talking ahead of time before you take off all your clothes. I think all sex conversations should happen with your clothes on before you get into play.
And as you're playing, there's always the questions like, hey, is it okay if I do this? Is it okay if I do that? And you can kind of incorporate that into your sexy talk, right? Your dirty talk.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'd really like to do this right now. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I love your tip. Talk about things with your clothes on. Like when I have my little deal with Baywatch and his friend, that's a really good idea. Like lay things out while you're still dressed. Like that.
Especially if you're trying to negotiate something new. Yeah. Like you had another listener who's like, I laid my wife out and she was naked. I'm rubbing her with coconut oil and I whisper into her ear, I think we should try lifestyle. And it did not go over well. I'm like, yeah, of course it did not go over well.
So I do have one recommendation for you.
Okay, yes.
I think you should ask for the massage.
Oh, the massage is good.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good.
Sensual massage. Yes. Erotic massage.
So start with that.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
If you have a massage table, it makes it even better with a heated
heated
pad and the whole thing. And you just have them both massage you and put a timer because you don't have a – you don't have a wing girl to make sure.
Slap their hands away.
You don't have a wing girl to make sure that they adhere to this timer thing, right? So you set a timer for 30 minutes and they have to not touch anything.
That. You know, I watch a lot of porn with the massage stuff.
It's
so
fucking hot. And you just have them massage you for a good half an hour and they're not allowed to touch your clit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, I don't know, you decide what they're not allowed to touch, right? But then like
when the
dinger goes off and the bell goes off and then they can touch you everywhere. Oh my God, it's so fucking hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my recommendation.
I'm a horny, raging bitch. I just told you that. Like, we cannot talk. I'm bad.
I can see your eyes right now. You're freaking out. It's the best.
Okay. All right. So this next one was that pics or it didn't happen. Do you guys ever record your play dates or take photos and then share them later?
Every once in a while, we might take some fun pics, but we don't take pornographic pics.
So everybody's different. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, a lot of women, the idea of taking pictures or videos is really fucking hot and they love it. And there's part of me, I'm like, I look really fucking hot right now and it's probably all downhill from here. So I might as well take some pictures.
Well, and to do that for yourself
to look at,
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've done a little bit of that, but not so much.
It's so funny you say that because after I get, oh my God, every time, well, I have the thinnest hair. I look like Whitesnake. Okay. Actually, I always say if I don't look like I got beat up afterwards, it wasn't that good. Like I look, I mean, makeup down my face because I love choking on cocks. There's a lot of tears. There's my hair is every fucking
way. I want to play with her just so we can see
see how wrecked she looks.
Oh like, I so think you're going to have to come
send,
out with
you
us.
You know what? I'll send you a selfie tomorrow.
Oh, after
you watch destroys me. Oh my, it's so bad.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I always liked, you know, the high production, vivid video 90s porn where a hair is not out of place.
Yeah.
And I think if I were to video myself having sex, I'd be like, she's a fucking mess. That's ridiculous. Where's hair and makeup? It doesn't turn me on.
Yeah.
To do it. I think, you know, if it turns you on, more power to you. Nobody should be forcing anybody to take pictures or videos because that shit lasts forever and it goes up into the cloud. And so you need to know that you are comfortable with that potentially going everywhere.
Mm-hmm. We've done a few things where the view off of the room is so incredible and there's the lights of the city.
Mm-hmm.
You open up the drapes and you're sort of either in lingerie or maybe naked, but you can take these really artistic, cool pictures. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fun. I have enjoyed that.
We have a lot of Twitter followers too who take really beautiful. Artsy kind of pictures and they're gorgeous. I really admire.
See, I'm very into the videos. Like I told you with my milking table, I want to record myself, not show him, and then send it to him later, during the business hours. You know what I mean? Like I'm into that.
There you
for
go.
Sure.
That's sexy.
I guess if it's out there, it's fucking out there. I was it comes from Pawn Star. He got me into video. Like, he had the old school, remember, like, the big camera? This is back, like, 2001, 1999. And, like, and we would make these videos together. And I was really into it. I really was. We did it all the time.
If it's your thing, that's awesome.
It's funny because he actually, I shouldn't say this. Oh, God, whatever. But he emailed me and was like, guess what I found the other day?
And
he was
no.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Was it on VHS?
It is.
That's fucking awesome.
But he did rip it to a CD for me. So I have a copy of it as well. It is hot. But I had like brown hair back then. It's so funny.
Oh, gosh.
All right. So can you explain, someone asked the whole stag vixen relationship. I've never even heard of that before.
That's like hot wifing.
Yeah. There's a couple of different terms. There's like, you know, there's hot wifing and a cuckold, mm-hmm. and a cuckoldress. And a cuckold is usually a guy who sort of wants to be submissive, mm-hmm. right? The cuckoldress is dominant. And she will hang out with a bull, which is like the guy who comes in and he's the man, right? And he dominates her. Mm-hmm. And he's usually a little dominant over the cuckold as well. Mm-hmm. Well, stag vixen is a little bit different in that the husband is a stag. He's not submissive. He's not a cuckold. He's dominant, or at least equal to the vixen, who is his lady, who is a hot wife, but a vixen category of hot wife.
Gotcha. Okay.
Does that sound right?
Yeah. So the stag, there's no humiliation. There's no like talking about small penises or stuff that can happen with a cuck.
There's no cage.
Clean up after. I've seen that.
We're not putting him in a cage.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So a stag might take a very active role in a hot wifing experience. He might be picking out the guy. He might be watching. He might, you know, be telling her what he wants her to do in those experiences, any or none of those things, but he's not being humiliated. That's not part of the kink.
That sounds like a dream to me.
I don't think we call the single guy a bull in that case.
Yeah. I don't know. The term bull seems to be, you know, sometimes people just talk about bull just like as a really masculine single guy who's giving that super masculine dom like energy.
Yes. I'm all about that. That is like my fucking thing. Yeah. Like that would be my dream. Like a stag and a bull.
I'm sorry. We are living your dream, girl.
Right. That's like Wednesday night for
hello.
Us.
Hello. I know. Wednesday.
Hump day. I'm down. Oh, God. I've said it like six times. I want to find my match that would be open to this kind of stuff. It's hard to find, though.
You probably should come hang out with us more.
I know. Do you guys have any bulls? Any single?
You know,
I might be able to make a recommendation or two.
Right. Right. I do think working off referrals.
We're working on it.
Is the way to go. There's a lot of single guys out there who this isn't really their thing. They're just looking to fuck anything, right? Mm-hmm. They're on the profiles and stuff, but they're looking for dates, they're looking for wives, they're looking for whatever will, you know, stand still long enough for them to fuck her. And so it's hard to know, you know, if to date somebody who's also looking to be in an open relationship. It's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just a little hard to find. Yeah. Field. I would check out Field. I think might find more open single guys there.
I mean, and it's not that I just, you know, a lot of people, I don't know what I want, but I just want to experiment and I want something that's open. It's the word open is the biggest thing. Don't be closed-minded. Don't be like, oh my God, no, never. Like Prince Charming was definitely like, the very vanilla. I love that. We're like, you know, he makes vanilla ice cream look exciting, actually. So like that, and that's fine. That's his thing. It's not mine. So that was always an issue. So I know I need someone that's very open because I might want to play sometime. I won't want to come here and hang myself from your amazing contraption hanging on the ceiling right now. I'm down with that. And like, I want someone to be like, okay, let's do it. Like I want a sex swing in my house. Like, why not?
So the last party that we had here, we had a couple unicorns.
We did.
And so the unicorns would hang out and maybe meet a couple that they like and go have some fun with a couple. So there's an open to that. And that was an amazing party.
Oh, my God.
So you should maybe come to one of our parties.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm open. I'm definitely open. I want to learn more about it. So another question is, do you have a safe word? Do you guys do that?
If you're playing edgy play, so breath play would be a great example. Well, breath play is a little bit more challenging because you might have your mouth obscured and so let's talk about safe words first. The typical safe words.
Why would you use a safe word?
Right. if you're playing in a space that might trigger you, that might be physically uncomfortable or painful, mm-hmm. having a, or if you're role playing, right, where maybe the play is that you want to feel like you're being coerced in the situation. So you want to be able to say, stop, don't do this, no. Mm-hmm. But you don't actually mean it. In the
right.
in the role play, you want to keep going. So the safe word is a chance to break that scene mm-hmm. and to say, you know, green is, this is great, keep doing it, I want more of this. Yellow would be, I like this, but something's going wrong. So if you're being restrained, for example, and a hand is falling asleep or a foot is falling asleep, you might say yellow, or impact play, and it's getting just a little too rough, you'd be like, yellow. And that means, you know, just back it off just a smidge. This is
I like this red, green, yellow. Yeah.
That's easy. People get really creative and then you all the hormones are going and
you forget
that your safe word is like hippopotamus.
Popcorn. Yeah.
We had someone in the Twitter sphere say Worcestershire sauce.
Oh my God. That's too much.
And they were like, you have to say it correctly too. So
yeah. I would stick to the stoplights. It's easy.
Like,
it's pretty universal.
And then red light.
Red means stop.
Yes.
The play
everything stops.
Get me out of what I'm in. If you're being suspended or restrained or whatever, it means get all this shit off of me right now.
Okay. I'm loving this, because one of my fantasies is I want to have like a nooner and like go to his house and I don't want to talk. It's kind of like a rape fantasy, which sounds terrible, but like I'm into it. I want him to like shove me up against the wall, put his hand over my mouth, pull my pants down just enough and fuck me. And like, even if I say no, I like that. Like saying mm-hmm. no, don't do that. Like that turns me on. So I love the like green, yellow, red. That is mm-hmm. fucking perfect. So yes, I'm going
to
use that.
It's a really common fantasy. We have talked about whether or not to explore coercive sex, rape mm-hmm. fantasy sex. It's a tough space to mm-hmm. explore, because of course so many women
right.
have experienced actual assault, mm-hmm. actual rape, and it's not a fantasy for
right,
them.
Right.
But something like
and
40,
it could even
40,
be offensive to them.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But so it's
like
hard.
40-45% of women have that fantasy. So you're mm-hmm. not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Having a safe word, negotiating
yeah.
the play ahead of time, all of that is super important.
I love the red, green, yellow. I'm gonna use that.
Easy.
And
okay.
red. Oh,
yeah.
You said red.
Yeah, red.
She said red first.
Wait, do you want me to stop right now?
She's just like, green, 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 green. Don't forget about red. Sometimes you need it.
Right. It would be probably very rare for me to say that, to be honest with you.
I've never had to red light someone,
yeah.
but I've yellow lighted yeah. situations before.
It's funny you talk about this. So Mr. July, who really was my breath play partner, like he's who like brought me, and he would, one of the hottest things he would do, he would be on top of me and he would like lift me up while he was nailing me, and I would like suffocate in his chest and it was so fucking hot. He's like ripped muscles, you know, and I mean it was like one of the hottest things ever, and he just knew like when I needed to take a breath. He knew, I don't know, we were just like in sync like that, you know.
3 minutes and, I'm about to pass out.
Well, so
no, it wasn't like that. No, he just knew.
Yeah.
You know,
if your mouth and your nose is obscured, you should really have a code that does not require you to say
right.
anything. So a drop toy can be something that you can use, mm-hmm. you know,
a
where
tap
you're holding something
you
in your hand.
You can just pinch him really hard.
If you drop it, then they know they need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're playing with breath play, like a double tap or a triple tap or something that mm-hmm. lets them know you're in distress is probably a safer way to explore
yeah.
that kink.
We never even talked about it.
Oh my God.
But like we're still here to tell the tale.
Yeah.
So it's all right.
Oh, so hot.
We're
like
so
the
happy
sounds
to teach
it makes.
You all of this.
Yes, I'm learning so much. Okay, so do you have an aftercare plan for after play? Like, you know, what do you do when it's all over?
Ben and Jerry's.
Sometimes I stop at Taco Bell.
It
I will
exhausting.
Admit,
it's
I
lot.
Will admit, late night Taco mm-hmm. Bell is like the only thing that's open. So I will be like, Mr. Cat, we need to go to Taco Bell. I'm so hangry.
Yeah,
yeah. So the concept of aftercare is really more of a kinks concept than it is a lifestyle.
Well, BDSM.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. BDSM, where you know you're really being pushed mm-hmm. to your edge. But I actually think it could totally apply. You know, you're in the middle of an 8-person, 10-person orgy, like. Maybe you need some aftercare after.
We always have snacks.
Yeah. Mm. You know, you typically
I
want
mean like
your
you
partner.
Reconnect with your partner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You typically. So, yeah. So after play, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, usually have some level of reconnection, sex or reconnection conversation, or even just cuddling, or sharing a snack or sharing a beer or whatever mm-hmm. it is. You know, just to ground yourself back in your primary yeah. relationship. But everybody's different. And I think it's not always necessary, because right. once you kind of accept the fact that it's just sex mm-hmm. and it can be really fun, and like, don't make aftercare a chore. Like, sometimes, yeah. you know, self-care, it's like, oh, I need to do this and all these things for yourself. If you don't need it, just go to bed. That's mm-hmm. fine.
Well, and when we're all together, a lot of times you end with your own partner. So mm-hmm. there's your aftercare with your with yeah. your primary partner.
You're oh, right, having if you're fun having like you... safe sex with the yeah I see yeah what you're
so it, you know, it doesn't always, it's not always that they're not there, they're usually there mm-hmm. so it's just part of the fun.
Yeah.
So you guys talked about these events, cruises, did you say? Oh, and then no, Mexico.
We're going yeah. on the Bliss cruise.
So tell me about them. Like, what is it like? Just give me like one day. And how naked. how do you like, I just can't imagine like how much, like everything is just like does your sensory overload?
No. No? It is so relaxed and really? So much fun and just so incredible. I love it.
Yeah. I think you have to pace yourself. Like mm-hmm. So Kat's talking more about like these lifestyle resorts or clothing optional resorts. Mm-hmm. If you go there and you drink all, it's, you know, all inclusive, right? Mm-hmm. So if you go there and you're drinking all day and then you're fucking five people, and then you, like, there are people
you
who
can
the
blow
next
it out
day
and be yeah. a mess
who they can't leave their room. They lose yeah. a whole day because right. they didn't pace themselves. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the difference, I think the biggest difference other than the sex and the nakedness is that people are just really nice and friendly. And if you've ever gone like on your honeymoon, or you go on a big vacation with just your partner or your husband, and nobody talks to you the whole time you're there,
you're right.
Mm-hmm. That never happens. You go to a lifestyle resort and people are talking to you. Yes, they want to sleep with you, but they also just want to talk with you.
We're
and
all
have a
wearing
good time.
Name necklaces so that we can address each other by our names. That's how friendly people are.
Wow. It's kind of like it's how amazing. I feel meeting you guys. Like I said, like I feel if this instant feel like home, you know what I mean? Because they're yeah. all open and
that's exactly yeah. what it's like.
Okay.
Yeah. And you do have to be careful. Like Ams was saying, you know, we watch how much we drink during the day because there's a lot of day drinking and you're at the pool all day and right. you're meeting new people and it's very easy to just go past your limit. So we try to, you know, have one cocktail and then fill it with water all day.
That's a good, yeah, the water. I always forget that water rule. Yeah,
I guess.
But it's a fast-paced vacation. I mean, it's definitely, it can be relaxing, but it's also just amazing fun. You're meeting new people. There's hot tubs. There's dance clubs. We have a nice dinner, and then we go to this theme party where we're dressing
wow
crazy and dancing all night, and 2 o'clock in the morning, we're having tacos, and mm-hmm. it's just incredible. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is there a place where you can find these events, or how do you get to know them?
On our website.
I actually saw on your website, so I was like,
yeah. yeah. There are, if you, you know, Google lifestyle resorts near me or whatever, you can find them. We certainly have links to a lot of places that we've gone to before on our website, which is the2hotwives.com. Mm-hmm.
And we're about to go on the Bliss cruise for our first time. Yeah. So we've not been. That?
It's in mid-November. And
there are still some rooms available.
Yeah. Are you going to Bahamas?
Don't no. say Bahamas. I don't think we're going to the Bahamas. Well, no. you know, too honestly, soon. I'm not sure we're going to get off the ship, yeah. right? Like,
because of, yeah, the COVID stuff, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
and just there's going to be a lot of people to meet and yeah. a lot of things to do. And it's one of those mega ships. There's like 6,000 people on the ship.
Wow.
So it's, you know, it's going to. There's going to be a lot of fun things happening.
I can't wait to hear about that.
Yeah, it should be good.
So are you going to revolve one of your episodes around the cruise? Are you going to say these are things we're going to do on the cruise and then do them and then talk about them?
I haven't thought about that. That could be our season ender.
That could be our, does the timing work? Yeah, that probably
yeah, kind of works.
Work. Yeah, we could
share
end
your stories from there.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Yes. That's love it. You've
boat.
Finished out our season.
Thank you.
Love boat. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So my last question for you is, what advice, and I need to hear this, would you give to a newbie in the lifestyle?
Use What's your motherfucking biggest... words.
Use yeah. your words. Communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, figure out what you want. Ask for what you want. You get what you want.
That's it.
That sounds simple to me. Mm-hmm. Nothing. What about like your biggest lesson that you've learned?
Biggest lesson.
Putting you on the spot here, I know.
Well, for me, I would say, like, I wish I had gone a little faster. Because when we talked about soft it for swap. So mm-hmm. long, not just soft swap, but just like, we talked about it for so long before we finally just decided to do it. And I wish I would have just, you know, just got to that part a little quicker. But yeah. I was so worried about what everybody else might think. And in the end, it doesn't really matter.
You're right. So that's now I have a question. Do you guys talk about this with any of your friends or no?
Not really. Yeah, I talk about it with my friend Ams. And I talk about it with all of my other lifestyle friends. Because what ends up happening is you start to realize that you have more in common with these people that you can just truly be honest with so and true. Hang out with and relax with.
Yep.
Be yourself with. You don't have to worry about having a filter or talking about your kids and all their amazing activities that they're doing and how awesome they are and you know, just politics and the weather and who wants to talk about all that stuff.
Not me.
I talk about some really cool fucking shit.
Yeah.
And it is just fun. And I would rather do that. Mm-hmm. So I think over time you just start to evolve that way.
It's called a lifestyle, right?
Yeah. It's a lifestyle for a reason.
Yeah. It is hard to talk to vanillas because they just make a lot of assumptions. Mm-hmm. They make a lot of assumptions about what you're about and what your sex life is about. And people are so hardwired not to talk about sex that you really don't have the time and the space to share your perspective on it and how different it is from what their perceptions are. So it's much easier to talk to other lifestyle people or content creators.
Yeah. Right. You know, I always talk about how people, they live their whole life in their little box.
Yeah.
And they do their routine every day. Like they're just zombies walking around. And like those of us who break through the mold, like we're really experiencing life. And I've lost a lot of friends doing this show, you know, talking about sex the way that I do and sharing, you know, my sexcapades and stuff. But I'm not ashamed of that. And if you don't want to be friends with me, that's your loss.
That's too bad.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would also say that you might be surprised. Nobody tells anybody else. So we probably have neighbors and friends that we don't even know.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Are part of it. And you'd be surprised. I mean, it's not really what you might think. I mean, that couple in your neighborhood that is starting to go to the gym all the time and really taking care of themselves, and all of a sudden you see them dressing better and they're looking better, they're probably swingers.
Yeah,
for sure. It's more common than you think. It's about as common as owning a cat.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to own a cat anytime soon.
Cat will not have a cat.
I can't have a cat. I'm allergic.
Oh, I don't do it. I don't like keeping anything alive other than my child. I don't have the capacity for it.
No doubt.
All right. So, Kat and Ams, this has been so much fucking fun. You two are not only hot, but you're equally amazing. And thank you so much for being so honest and open and informative with me on all things non-monogamy. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much for having us. Yes. This was a blast.
For sure. All right, Cravers, I will see you back here in 2 weeks. And you know I'll be sharing all about my sexcapades with Baywatch from this weekend. And God, I've talked about it like 10 times. I cannot wait to fuck that motherfucker. Also, I'm currently interviewing, you know, local friends with benefits. I need it more than once or twice a month. And I'm like dying for a morning sex servant. That's what I'm looking for. And I know that's like so fucking insane, but I have a date next Wednesday and maybe he'll fit the role. But I'm accepting applications. I have open roles. Can you imagine the shit I'm going to get for saying that? Also, my best friend and biggest cheerleader and most supportive person in my life, Katina, is back. And we're going to be talking a lot about breakups. I have a lot to share about that as of late. And I want to discuss a big thing for dating out there is vetting people, learning how to vet people better. You know, only selecting OQP, only quality people in your life moving forward. You know, you got to live and fucking learn. At this stage of life, I feel like I'm finally starting to learn my life degrees. Until then, I ain't stopping this train, baby. And the next stop is Pound Town.